Father's Day to all the fathers that are here this morning. And I'm glad we've got a Heavenly Father. I know a lot of people wish they had a better father, or maybe they wish they had a different father. I've had a lot of young people come to me, and their prayer request was, pray for my father, that he'll be nice, that he'll be different. You know, I hate to say it, but I've had a lot of people come to Brother Eddie, will you please pray for my father? And let me say concerning fathers, that there's a role only you can fulfill. The wife can't be the father. I'm sorry. I know we try to be politically correct. I know things have changed. I know we voted for change. I don't like it. The kind of change I like is the kind of change that Jesus makes. That he took this old drunk right here, this guy right here with the beard and the bib overalls and his eyes all glassy because he'd been drinking all day long, and he changed him. I like that kind of change. But some of this change I'm not for. But let me say to those, you know, that wish they had a better father, you should strive to be a better father. And happy Father's Day to the fathers that are here this morning. We'll be preaching probably pretty lengthy, so I'm just going to get right into it. This is not a short message. I'm trying to figure out how to condense it. I don't know really how I can, so bear with me. I'll do the best I can. But if you got your Bible this morning, open it up to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let me see, well, while you're getting your Bible open up there, don't forget to pray about revival. God willing, if he doesn't come for us, we plan on starting revival Monday night. I wouldn't bother me a bit if he wanted to start revival this morning. I wouldn't mind having a preemption to revival this morning myself. But pray for me, please. Pray for this revival effort. I'd like to see a fruitful revival. I'd like to see, some things. I like to see people get saved. I like to see people get stirred. I like to see people shout. I like to see people, for lack of better words, just get blessed and enjoy the things of God. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, the very first part of that verse, God here says, I have written unto you, fathers. I want to stop right there. I want to preach a Father's Day message. I don't always do it, but I very much led of God to preach this message this morning. I wanted to preach it before now. I don't like waiting, but I've had to wait to preach this message. So pray with me. We'll go to God in prayer. Lord, we ask for your blessing, for your help. Lord, for your leadership. For direction of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, I don't like preaching in the flesh. I don't like preaching without being anointed of God. And I pray right now you would crucify my flesh. Help me, Lord, to submit, surrender. Lord, to be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. To the will of God in this message. Father, visit our hearts today. Open our eyes with eyesight, unstop our ears, at least awake us up. Father, we promise to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' blessed name, we ask it. Amen. God says, I have written unto you, fathers. Now that's a noun. Fathers. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. The latter part of that verse says the glory of children are their fathers. Now we've got some children here this morning, and some of them, their fathers have done graduated this life. But I'll tell you one thing, they looked up to their dad. They looked up to their father. In their eyes, there was none greater than their father. I mean, their father was 10 foot tall. Their father could do this. Their father's got this. Their father's this or that or whatever. The glory of the children are their fathers. And to you fathers this morning, let me just say this. You have an exalted position in the eyes of your children. There is no one that can fill them shoes but you. God made them shoes for you, for the glory of the children, of their fathers, And you need to put the shoe on. It fits you. And you need to be a father. Now, it ain't been too long ago. I got to go to Brother Anthony's house and get a blessing watching a movie called Courageous. Now, the world don't like these kind of movies, Brother Bobby, because it shows how to be a good father. As a matter of fact, I went to the cinema to see this movie, and the cinema was told they could not show this movie because, you know, corporate said we're not going to show it, and I was disappointed. And for lack of better words, I was very much disappointed. I've not been back to the cinema since. I won't go, I don't guess. But the world don't want these kind of movies that shows what a father is supposed to be. And in that movie, there were some men, and I'm not going to say they were bad fathers, but they had a desire to be better fathers, and they made a commitment, commitment to their families that they intended to fulfill, and they said, nobody's going to do my job. I am going to be the father. I am going to be the father my children need me to be. I'm going to do it, and that's what fathers need to do. Amen. Now, my wife cannot be my son's father. She cannot be my daughter's father. She can be their mother, but she can't be their father. I can't be their mother. I can't hold them when they're crying and rock them. I try. I'm the one usually gets the bad job. I'm going to tell your father on you when he gets home. And when I get home, as soon as I turn the door knob, you need to go back there and do something with them. And usually before even thinking, I go back there and do it and then find out what to do. And it really wasn't nothing. I've been guilty of that, especially when I was in the flesh. I've learned now to study. I've learned now to wait. I've learned now to be patient. I've learned now not to just be so quick to react. My pastor, I've learned a lot from him. I admire him for this. He's very reserved. He does not take action unless needed immediately. He will wait on everything. And I'm kind of jealous a little bit over him over that. And I would like to have that attitude attached to me that I could fairly say that I've matured enough to be able to have reservation, to be able to wait until the right time rather than just jump up and act. But unfortunately, I'm guilty of many times acting when I should have been waiting. And the Bible does say wait on the Lord, and I believe we need to do that. But as fathers, especially as fathers, we need to learn that there are times that you need to wait. There are times you need to act. There are times, you know, when you need to base, times you need to abound. But fathers have a special role in the home. They're the ones that protect the home. I was talking to Brother Donnie this morning. And, of course, right after he got saved, his wife left him, took the kids, took everything he had, took their home, left him with an empty bag. And I said, Donnie, you don't have an empty bag. You're the priest of your home. You're the one that's supposed to offer up prayers to God on behalf of your home. And I said, Donnie, you're not alone. Get down on your knees and pray to God and say, God, I want you to bless my son, bless my daughter, bless my wife. I'm telling you, buddy, a father has a job. His job is to offer up prayers on behalf of his family. You get a family with a praying dad or a praying mom, and I'll tell you right now, they'll be able to go through anything. Amen. I'll tell you right now, I'll take an ounce of prayer over anything. I know the devil wants to come against us 10 different ways. I know he wants to knock on your door. I know he wants to find some place in the home. Most homes, they leave a door open, unlocked, and everything else, and a welcome mat there for the devil to come into. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned about fathers. They watch out for things. They don't just give in to any whim. They're the guardian. Kids know what to do when there's trouble. I remember one night the storm was beating down our house, rattling the windows. It scared me a little bit. My little boy come running in there. He said, Daddy, I'm afraid. Yes, I wanted to say I'm afraid too. But as a father, I said, son, I just read a verse here in the Bible. And I said, I'm going to share it with you. Psalms 56, verse 3. That verse says, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. And I said, son, that's all I know to do. And that little 8-year-old boy went back there and got in bed and slept like a baby. I did too, William. I don't know what else to do when the storm's beating down on your house but to trust in God. But as a father, we're supposed to step up and protect our home. Does someone get to my home, they'll have to go through me first. Amen. We got any men here this morning? I mean men that are real men. No, not this limp Hollywood stuff, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real men. that if need be, like Paul said, buddy, will step up. And I mean, buddy, no, you're not. Amen. Be a man. Well, I've laid a little foundation now. I want to tell you what the message is. I'm going to preach about three men that were not fathers. God said, I've written unto you fathers, and we can get from the Word of God a lot of good examples in there of good fathers. But there's also some examples in there of men that weren't good fathers. I don't want that wrote about me. I know the Bible said books were written. God said, I've wrote a book of remembrance and a book of Malachi and the book of Revelation said the books was open. And believe you or not, there are some things that I believe these men wish wasn't in the Bible concerning them. And for lack of better words, God put them in there for our sake as fathers that we might look to these men and learn from their mistakes and not make the same mistakes. The first one's found in Joshua. The book of Joshua, I believe it's chapter 7, verse 1. Talks about a man named Achan. And the Bible said in verse 1 that he took of the accursed thing. With him, he brought it into his home. I'm guilty. I brought the accursed thing in my home. They're having a vote up here at Somerset right now. Stupid that anybody should have a vote on where you should have alcohol legalized or not. But some people are so stupid that they say, let's put it to a vote. Why don't you just bring some rattlesnakes, some copperheads, and black widows and stuff like that, turn them loose while you're at it. I mean, now listen, he brought the accursed thing, Sister Anita, into his home. And that's not a good father. And there's a lot of men that have brought things into their home that was detrimental. You give me a godly father, and I'll tell you what, I'll show you a family that can stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'll tell you what now, I mean, brother, they got something, brother, the devil's scared of. And I can't get the word spelled out for nothing. It's virtual. I can't get it out. Y'all just have to bear with me here. But they've got something that the devil don't like. Integrity. Thank you, Lord. Woo! I finally choked on enough, spit it out. They've got integrity. That means some things are no. I know we've come down today, nothing's no. But in Joshua chapter number 7, verse 1, it said, Achan took of the accursed thing. Oh, by the way, there was a warning in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18. God said, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. That's a warning. All you men have been warned. There's some things you need to abstain from. There's some things that you don't need to bring in your home. But Achan took of this accursed thing. He brought it into his home. Joshua chapter 7, verse 20 and 21. But also, let me say this. It brought death to his family. It brought his death. It brought his wife's death. It brought his son's death, his daughter's death. As a matter of fact, his whole family, everything he had, died because he took the accursed thing in his home. Now, I know y'all, you know, your ears tingle, you hear about something, and you wonder why that happened. Well, there's a lot of Achan still around that are bringing things in their home that they don't need to bring in their home. And I'll be honest with you, God said he's not mocked. And he said, whatsoever man soweth, that will he also reap. And there's some men been reaping some stuff because they brought some cursed things in their home. I can name them. Y'all all get blushed. And man, for lack of better words, we just embarrass ourselves. But your home is your castle. Your home is that place, like Dorothy said, there's no place like home. Your home is that place, if you can just get home, you can just get away from some of the problems, some of the perils, some of the things that's been coming up against you. If you can just get home, you can find there some place that you can get, I don't know, peace from all of that. But I want you to know the home's under attack right now. Oh no, they're not going to show movies like The Courageous. Oh, we certainly don't want to promote, you know, dads being real dads. You know, we want to have so-and-so had two daddies or had two mamas. And that right there, now, Helen DeGeneres, you know, she can get her program. But you let someone, you know, like, you know, Sarah Palin, it's a true patriot that loves the country, that loves God, that stands for what's right. Hey, they'll crucify her in a heartbeat. And the world loves her own. But I'm telling you, we've come down to a sad day when the father is being attacked. And it is. But I'll tell you right now, if a father would just step up to the plate, I'll tell you right now, buddy, we could do a lot of good. And I'm telling you right up here, right this close, right up here at Somerset, they're fighting a war right now. They just had an outside service yesterday afternoon. up there at the courthouse and try to sway people not to vote. Vote Somerset wet. It's kind of like, you know, the last stronghold. I mean, everything else is wet. Well, listen, if everybody's jumping off a cliff, that don't mean you got to jump off too. Take a reasonable thought to what you're doing. Achan brought the accursed thing in his home. And let me say this morning, you fathers, don't bring accursed things in your homes. I could give you testimony this morning. It would embarrass me. But I could give you testimony this morning of some things I brought in my home that hurt me, that hurt my wife, that hurt my son, that hurt my daughters. And I'm still reaping some of that. And I'll tell you right now, but it's not funny now. Like Andrew said, it's kind of fun for a while. There is pleasure in sin for a season. You've done a good job there, buddy, conveying a great truth. Yeah, it's fun for a little while. But then it comes time to pay up. And then you say, somebody help me. And I tell you what, I only know one that can help. And the Bible said in Psalms 46 verse 1 that He's a very present help in trouble. I'm glad He's willing to reach out a hand. Peter started sinking in that water. He said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and saved him. I'm glad there is one that's willing to help, that's ready to help, that can help. But fathers, don't bring accursed things in your home. You're the watchman of your home. You're the spiritual leader of your home. You're the one to offer up priestly prayers for your home. I'm telling you, you're worthy of double attack from a devil. If he can get through to you, then all the rest of them will fall like dominoes. And don't y'all look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. It's just cornbread preaching. It's just what we go through every day. Now, I'll tell you right now, it didn't take me too long to get on the same page with the devil. I got saved, and the devil hated me right off the bat. He hated me before. But somehow or another, I didn't know it, but after I got saved, but I knew he hated me. I announced my calling to preach. We got on first name basis. And I'm telling you, buddy, we've been doing battle ever since. I'm glad to have a thing called tag out. Every now and then I say, Jesus, I need you to come in and help me. I'm getting a whooping, and I can tag out my elder brother, and I want you to know he can handle the devil. Amen. If you're having problems with temptation, if you're having problems with trials and troubles, there is one that can help you. You ain't going to get too far without Jesus. You just ain't going to make it. Now I'm telling you, I'm not Superman. There ain't no S here. But I am a saved man. Therefore I have got an S there. Not the kind like the world wants. But I'm a saved man. That makes a difference. Jesus does make a difference. I'll tell you right now, buddy, God made a difference when it comes to His people. And I tell you, Egypt down there, they were having plague after plague. And over there in Goshen, buddy, they're just getting blessed and enjoying the things of God. And God said, I want you to know, I'll make a difference. Amen. Get the blessing of God upon your home. Be a real godly father. Achan brought the accursed thing into his home. And it caused the little Achans to die. It caused Mrs. Achan to die because of the cursed thing. Now listen, there's a price. I guess it was Jessica that read Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. There's a price. It's an awful price. I don't like it. But the Bible said in the book of James, sin, when it's finished, will bring forth death. It's a product of sin. I don't like it. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad Jesus gave me victory over it. I'm glad, praise God, He made it, praise God, a matter that we got victory over. He said He took His body through death to destroy Him at the power of death, that is the devil, and He delivered us from that dilemma of death. I still don't like it. I mean, Jesus said, whoever believeth in me will never die. And I like that word, never die. I don't like dying. I remember when I tell, I would get ready to peel my head and go to sleep, and I was afraid of going to sleep, Sister Carolyn. I was afraid I wouldn't wake up in the morning. I'm feeling my head right now. If Osama bin Laden was still alive and said, I'm coming to your house tonight, I'd say, buddy, don't threaten me with heaven. I'll be asleep when you get here.
Amen.
I'm in glory to God.
Amen.
Man, I'm more than a conqueror. God gave me victory over that old devil. Yeah, man. I mean, he's got to go through God to get to me anyway. He had to go ask God before he could even touch Job. But I'm greater than Job, thanks to Christ. Man, I'm telling you, I got somebody sitting at the right hand of God on my behalf that said, Father, that's mine. I love him. I bought him. I paid for him. And I don't want that devil to be able to touch him. And I tell you, put up a standard against him and don't let him get to 80 ways house. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all may not know much Bible, but God said He's able to rebuke.
Amen.
He's able to rebuke the hollow worm. He's able to rebuke the destroyer. What was that they put on them doorposts, Molly? I remember you asked these kids a question. Put what on the doorpost? Did it stop something? Somebody said it stopped something. What happened? What was it? It couldn't go in? You mean God made a difference? And then nobody in that house died? Amen. I'll tell you, I listen to these young people. I marvel that they knew so much Bible. And she said, what did God tell them put on the door? And they said, blood. She said, why? She said, because they said the death angel couldn't come in. Amen. Noah. Bible said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Brother Howard, I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to brag on Noah just a minute, so y'all bear with me. I'm glad I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you're saved, you ought to be glad. The Bible said in verse 9 that Noah was a just man. Said he walked with God. Hey, listen, that's good. I'm glad Noah found grace. I'm glad he's a just man. I'm glad he walked with God. Listen to this. Hebrews 11 verse 7 said, Noah moved with fear, preparing the ark to the saving of his house. What a father! Glory! He wanted his house saved. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 20. Luke answered this. How many souls were saved, Luke? You remember? Eight. Eight souls were saved. Because a man moved with fear, Brother Hired. He moved with fear to do what was needing done so his family could live. What a father. Sister Sophia, eight souls were saved because a man obtained grace. A just man walked with God, moved with fear, made an ark to the saving of his house, and eight people were saved. What a father.
Amen.
That's the good part about Noah. I like the good. Now listen, I'm going to stop just a second here. Just because you're saved, listen, that's wonderful. But we ain't home yet. Listen, I want you to walk with God. I want you to be a just man. I want you to fear God. I want you to do things you need to do. But I don't want you to stop there. Now, Noah saved his home. They landed on Mount Ararat in between Russia and Turkey. You want to know where the ark is? It's on top of Mount Ararat. It's there. If God put it in the Bible, it's there. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20, after that ark landed, it says Noah got drunk and got naked. I wish he stopped there. But it went on to say in verse 22 that his son Ham saw him drunk and his son Ham saw him naked. Now, I've been a drunk and I can definitely amen that. I've done that. I hate to say it, but when it comes to drinking, I don't need no commentary. I don't need to look nothing up. I don't need to do no searches. I've been a drunk. I can definitely testify about what a drunk does. I've done it. I've been for times that I didn't know how I even got home. And I remember waking up, sitting in on the couch, and I don't want to really elaborate, but I'll be honest with you, my wife should have shot me. I wouldn't have put up with what she put up with, Sister Margaret. That's why I love my wife. How in the world could she put up with what she put up with me? Well, she can do whatever she wants to. She put up with me. Come home barking like a dog drunk. She'd get me by the collar and leave me up there in the bedroom vomiting and other things. And I'll tell you, I don't understand why in the world anybody put up with somebody like that. And I'm glad that man's no more. I'll tell you what, buddy, Noah was not a good father. Noah got drunk. Bible said wine's a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1. But the Bible, it said that he got drunk and he got naked and his son Ham saw him drunk and he saw him naked and he went and told his two brothers and they had to cover him up. That might get y'all tomorrow sometime. Oh, how we try to cover things up. Shh. Don't let nobody know. It's our little secret. Don't let nobody know. We'll get it in the closet. Nobody needs to know. There's been so many wives that have been abused. Because she didn't want nobody to know, Sister Caleb. She said, don't tell nobody. We'll cover it up. I've seen wives that were beaten, eyes black, went up and told the police they didn't want their husband prosecuted. We'll cover it up. We'll cover it up. I only know one thing that'll cover it up. It's the blood. Abuse. Beatings. I mean, loving wives. We'll cover it up. And I'm down in where we live at, Brother Melvin. This really goes on. Yeah, you won't find this on the news. This is just in the Word of God. Ham and Japheth covered up the nakedness of their father. The drunkenness of their father. And I tell you what, I wish I had a microphone. I wish I had the Billy Graham multitudes. I'd like to see how long it take me to run them off. They had to cover it up. And Bible said Noah woke up from his drunk. He woke from his wine. And verse 25 said Noah cursed his son. He is kind of quiet and having surgery, ain't he? He cursed his son. One thing I don't want to be guilty of is cursing my son. The Bible mentioned in the book of Peter, said they cursed children. Listen, these little children, they're innocent. They can't help themselves. They're just young. They're full of life. They're not going to be adults for a while. They need love. They need patience. How many toes you got, Peyton? Five on each foot. Little Peyton, she's just got 10 toes. She's just a little girl. She don't need to be cursed. She needs to be loved. Sister Margaret here, she's got little Chelsea in her lap. She's just showing this little girl love. She don't need to stand up and curse this little girl. This little girl needs loving. They're little. But Noah woke from his wine. You know what drunks do? They just start blaming people. I've done it. Yeah. Y'all won't never know about it. Praise God, it's on the blood. God cast in the sea of forgiveness. Never remember no more against me. Man, I'm telling you, the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses my old sin. I don't want y'all to know my sin, but I'll tell you a little bit. I've done it. I blamed everybody but Eddie Wade. Amen, Brother Melvin. I did. I blamed this one. I blamed that one. I'd come home, I'd tell my wife I couldn't get out of it. And them flimsy excuses, trying to cover up my sin. Brother Andy, you've done a good job, everybody. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 said they cursed children. Now let me show you a byproduct of what I'm trying to say about he cursed his son. By the way, for what it's worth, it stuck. The Canaanites are cursed. They're cursed. They really are. They're cursed. Ham's father put a curse on his son and it was not overlooked. There is a curse. There really is a curse on the Canaanites to this day. Now let me show you the full effect of this. In 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha has just saw Elijah get caught up in the heaven, in a whirlwind, in a flaming chariot. And Elijah threw down his mantle. He picked it up. Where's the God of Elijah? Smoked Jordan. It parted, walked across. Hear this. Elisha taking the place of Elijah. All the power of God bestowed upon him because he said, what would you have? He said, I want a double portion of what you got. And Elijah said, if you see me taken up, you'll get it. And he was right there and he saw Elijah caught up in the whirlwind, go to heaven. And here Elijah now's got God on him. He smote that water Jordan. It parted. He walked across. The sons of the prophets said, the God of heaven is with Elijah like he was with Elijah. It don't go too far. I mean, he's just got the power of God upon him. And I say this about a lot of young preachers. They need to be careful. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, little children. Now, it takes a lot of maturity. What I'm going to tell you probably won't even pertain to you, but you can at least keep it in your mind. It takes a lot of maturity to realize little children don't always do what's right. They're little children. And those little children came out and they said, go up thou bald head, go up thou bald head. And the Bible said he turned around and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 little children because a man of God cursed little children. There ain't nothing right about that. Now I'm going to tell you something. They shouldn't have done what they done, but he shouldn't have done what he done. He done something unthinkable. He cursed little children in the name of the Lord. Let me say this, little children. You do need to honor those that are your elders. You do need to. I like to see little children are well behaved and I like to see them to have respect to the elders. I like that. But the little children, they shouldn't be cursed. He turned around and he cursed those little children in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears, that means two grizzlies, came out of the woods and tore 42 little children because a man of God turned around and cursed them in the name of the Lord. There's been a few times I wanted to issue a curse. That lady out there at work, that I've been telling y'all, has been going out of her way to make my life miserable. Oh, I would love to say in the name of the Lord, this, that, whatever. But I'm not going to do it because I believe the Bible. And I would never do something like that. And I'm telling you, buddy, Noah cursed his son. And the curse stuck. And to this day, they're cursed. And I say to you, be careful. Bless and curse not. Curse not. Curse not. It has repercussions. I believe there was a day that Noah probably said it was my fault. I wished I could take that back. Well, it's quiet in here. It's real preaching, fellas. I'm getting it just like y'all are. It's just coming to me just like come to you. I got this message from God. I knew that, buddy, this message wasn't going to be a pleasant message. I'm sure Noah wished he could somehow extract this record from the Word of God. I'm sure Achan somehow wished I could remove what happened to my family and me from the Word of God. But unfortunately, God put it in there because He said, I've written unto you fathers. We do well. Take heed. Noah wasn't a good father. And I'll tell you right now, he pronounced a curse upon his son and to this day they're cursed. And the last one, I'll be as quick as I can. It's a man called David. He's a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. He was the anointed king of Israel, anointed of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. He was the one that killed Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 49 through 51. And the Bible said this about David. He behaved himself wisely. And the Lord was with him. I'll take it. I want the Lord with me.
Amen.
He behaved himself wisely, Sister Nita. And the Lord was with him.
Amen.
What a champion. What a mighty man of God. I mean, but he's got everything. The Lord was with him. He behaved himself wisely. What that means is he wasn't rash with his words. What that means was he thought about things before he reacted. What that means is, buddy, he walked before God in the beauty of holiness. Sister Carolyn, he done those things that was right. And the Lord was with him. What a champion. What a mighty man of God David was. The Bible says that yet he failed. And the Bible said, take heed, ye that stand, lest ye fall. See, I'm standing today. I'm not worried too much about falling. And yet today, y'all could find out where Brother Eddie failed. Now, Brother Andrew, boy, you done a good job there, brother. When you first wandered in that sand, you know, it looked pretty good, didn't it? You know, sin does look pretty good. That's why people want it. The devil knows what to bait the hook with.
Amen.
I mean, tell you, I've been around. I'm 58 years old. I'm by no means champion or anything or nothing. But I'll tell you right now, sin's, you know, it is pleasure in sin for a season. It's pleasant to the eyes. The devil don't use things that you think he uses. I mean, he don't show you the aftermath of sin. He shows you some young boy. I mean, he's got a woman on his arm. He's got big muscles. He said, man, I'm Marlboro, man. Look at that. He don't show you where the cancer's sitting on him. And he's over there, buddy, with trying to get a breath. And he's got a tank of oxygen with him. He sits there with a fifth of Jack Daniels saying, ooh, boy, it's smooth. They don't show you the cancer in his esophagus where he's burning everything out. They don't show you that. And Andrew, sin does look pretty good. That's why it draws people to it. We're drawn to sin just like a moth drawn to the flame. You young people here this morning, I plead with you, please don't make the mistakes I made. Make better decisions than I did. Set the standard high. And keep it there. Chelsea, set the standard high, sweetie. Peyton, don't go places Brother Eddie went. Set the standard high. Honor God with all the days that He gives you. Jesse, honor the Lord. Honor your mother and father. Set the standard high. Andrew, set it high, brother. Luke, set it up or high, buddy. I want to see you one day playing that guitar for the glory of God. And I mean, you got great big crowds out there and they say, woo! Man, what's different about that boy? Somebody said he stayed with God. And he never gave up. And God used him. God molded him. God made him. And I'll tell you what, buddy. I'll tell you now, David, he had everything going for him. And yet, he failed. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 through 5, the Bible said that David, a time when kings go out to battle, stayed home. You know how most people get in trouble? They stay home. I mean, the message, God gives a man of God a message. The message is, I mean, one time, God gave my pastor a message, and Sister Molly, the message was for me. And old flesh got big time that morning. The bed felt so good. I'm sitting there thinking, man, this bed sure is good and warm. It's awful cold out there. And that old devil got up there. He said, you know, if I was you, I believe I'd just stay home. Nobody would miss you anyway. And I got to hear that tape, Sister Sophia. And I said, that sorry devil robbed me out of that blessing. That message was for me. It was, Brother Melvin. I'm not kidding you. That message given to him from God was for me, and the devil beat me out of it. You know, the Bible said Esau missed the what? Missed the blessing, didn't he? And the Bible said he sought it with tears and he couldn't find it. Some people miss blessing just because they stayed home. Well, David, instead of going out when kings went out to battle, he stayed home. And the devil said, ooh, boy, the champion. Oh, man, I've been wanting him. God's anointed. God's sweet psalmist, he's finally allowed me an opportunity. He said, hey, beautiful Bathsheba, would you mind doing something for me? What's that, devil? Would you mind going out there and bathing yourself out there so David could see your beauty? Beautiful Bathsheba, she ain't got no clue. I mean, something about sin, the aftermath of sin don't really show up till after it's all done. But she goes out there, okay, here I am. And David said, whoa. He didn't just look, but he had her brought to him. Not only that, she was somebody else's wife. He had her husband killed. And he brought the sword upon his home. You know what David did? He started bearing children. He pronounced a man that had done this thing will restore fourfold. He buried four sons. Don't tell me sin's a laughing matter. The Bible said fools make a mock at sin. You go ahead and laugh about it. It ain't too funny at the graveyard, Sister Molly. It ain't too funny out there. I don't see nobody laughing at the graveside. Most of the time, I'm weeping with them. The pain's unbearable. It's not too funny, you know, when sin has run its course and it's finished and, man, it's robbed some home of someone. It's not funny then. But David brought the sword upon his own home. And let me say that David was not a good father. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, it says, time would fail me to tell you of others. Gideons. But let me say this. I would mention Lot if we had time. You can't bear it. You can just take so much. I get done eating. William, I'm ready for a nap. I mean, I get my belly full and I'm ready to go somewhere and lay down and turn about three circles like a hound dog and go to sleep. Get one of them naps in. I know you can't bear as much as I'd like to give you this morning, but I will tell you this. Achan wasn't a good father. Noah wasn't a good father. David wasn't a good father. And if I had time, Lot wasn't a good father. He made some terrible decisions concerning his home. But I'll tell you, buddy, this morning, be a good father. Don't tell me you're only hurting yourself. You know, old devil, I guess he's pretty good at what he does, Sister Carolyn. But he'd tell me, he'd say, you ain't hurt nobody but yourself. And I thought, yeah, I got my righteous indignation. I ain't hurt nobody but myself. I heard a story one time, Sister Molly, my pastor told it, about a drunk. Big snow on Brother Hired. You know how it is, you know, you get that thirst. Or at least I know how it was with me. Got to get a drink, you know. I've got a bottle hid, you know. Well, he had one hid out there in the barn. Big snow on, so he thought I was walking to the barn getting me a big drink. He starts out there to the barn, Jesse, and he hears something. He looked behind him, and there's a little boy back there. And that little boy's going. He said, what are you doing, boy? He said, I'm walking in your footsteps, Daddy. And it finally hit home, Keith. And that drunk boy, he went out there and busted at bottles. He said, you ain't going to follow me no more this direction. But I wish some dads had some wake-up calls like that. I wish they'd realize there's some little feet following them. My pastor's got a calendar in his office, and it shows the steps of a big staircase, and the last step, it shows the flames of hell rising up, and it shows a little boy holding on to the hand of his daddy. Up the top of that steps is a praying God the mother. She's down on her knees saying, God help! And that little boy saying, Daddy, where are we going? And it shows that daddy's done got his foot over the last step going down to hell. Be a good father. There's little ones looking up to you. Fathers leave a message in the heart of their children. Good or bad. God said, I've written unto you fathers. No wonder the devil attacks you so hard. Because God bestowed upon you the honor to be made in the image of God. He made the woman in the image of man, but He made you in the image of God. Be a man! Square back your shoulders and say, no! I'm not going to do that. I'd be dishonoring my home. I'd be dishonoring my wife. I'd be dishonoring my children. I'd be dishonoring my Lord. I'm not going to do it. Amen. Be courageous. Step up and say, I will. I'm going to step up. I'm going to put them shoes on. Luke, come here. Slip your shoes off. What? Slip your shoes off. Slip them off. Take your shoes off. Hope your socks are like mine. Ain't got no holes in them. They don't fit, do they? You know why? Because you ain't reached that place yet. But one day you'll put your shoes on. Your father's shoes. No one will be able to fill them shoes but you. And I appreciate you coming up here and helping me, brother. But I'm going to tell you something. He can't fill them shoes because he's not where I am. But I want you to know these are the shoes of my children's father. And I'm supposed to put them on. And I'm supposed to stand. I haven't done all. I'm supposed to stand as a father. Amen. Yeah, amen. God bless you, Sister Carolyn. I'm glad there's a little life in here. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I mean every word I said. You take this to the bank, you'll find out, buddy, it won't bounce. I'll tell you right now, buddy, nobody's going to do my job. Amen. I may not be the best, but I'm going to be a father. My mother told me when I was young, I just got married. I'm a drunk. My wife's doing the best she can. And my mother, you know, I'm my only child, and I'm spoiled rotten. And she tells me, Brother Howard, she says, I'd leave her if I was you. And I said, Mama, you're not me. That's my wife. I love you, Mama. But Mama, I meant what I said when I stood before that man of God. Well, I can never find nobody to marry us. When I stood before that man of God and I took my vow, I meant every word of it, Sister Sophia. He said, rich or poor, good times, bad, sickness, health. I meant every word of it. But I'll tell you right now, the devil wanted to use my mother. And I love my mother. I don't disrespect my mother. I don't. But my mother don't need to tell me to leave my wife. I'm going to tell you right now. Now, buddy, I say that to you fathers this morning because you need to be careful who you listen to. You need to be careful what you hear. You need to be careful what you do. God said, I've written unto you, fathers, rise up, be a man, set the standards, set it high, and show this world there's still some fathers down here that ain't henpecked, that ain't been bought and paid for, that I'll tell you what, buddy, as the world looks on us, they call us fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned, fogies. I don't care what they call. I want to know I'm a father. Man, it's dead in here. I feel like I'm in a funeral home. Hey, man, Sister Gail, I was expecting you to holler anyway. Oh, listen. I know it's not popular. I know we got to make fun of dads on TV, the sitcom. You know, he's got to be the dumbest thing there ever was. He can't do nothing. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Look at Brother Melvin's hands over her. Them hands have made a living, ain't they, Brother Melvin? Them hands have made a living. Them hands have worked, ain't they? How many gloves them hands wore out, brother? I'll tell you right now, them hands wore out a million pairs of gloves, but I'll tell you what them hands they wore out. Them feet wore out a million pairs of shoes going to do the work. And I'll tell you right now, them feet ain't wore out. Because I'll tell you what, he's a father. God put something on him. And I'll tell you what, he put something on me. I stand amazed. I've wore out a million pairs of gloves. I've wore out a million pairs of shoes. And I'll tell you right now, these hands can still get the job done as a father! Thank you, Sister Gaylor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We may go another 30 minutes. Amen. I want to be known as being a good father. If they could put anything on my tombstone, I'd like for them to put on there that he prayed for his family. If I could do nothing else, at least I could pray for my family. Got on my knees this morning. God bless my home. Bless my wife. Bless my son. Bless my daughter. Help us to honor one another. Help us to fulfill the roles that we're supposed to fulfill. I'm not the mother. I'm the father. My children are not to run the home. They're not to ruin the home. They're to respect me. How do you get respect? You demand it. If it's up for decision, up for choice, forget it. Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus? Here he is on the judgment seat. And he's asking somebody what to do. Keith, I'll tell you right now, I am a father. I don't need to ask my wife what to do. I do ask her for advice from time to time. But usually I'm the one that ends up doing it, so I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to do it as a man of God. I'm going to do it as a father. I'm going to do it as a husband. I'm going to do it unto the Lord with all my might. Amen. And they're going to vote on alcohol. Where's the fathers? David, I listened to him on the radio. He said somebody had been stealing the signs, throwing them in the creek. Where's the fathers? Been hearing about men preaching against getting drunk. Where's the fathers? I'll tell you right now, buddy, they're AWOL. Either that or they're hiding. You let fathers stand up. You'll notice the world take note, buddy. Listen, I'll tell you one thing, buddy. That's a man of God. He's like Naboth. He ain't for sale. I mean, buddy, we need some men to step up, square back their shoulders, and say, I am going to be a good father. Well, by the way, Brother Howard, children's children are the crown of old men. Them little ones, they come up behind the other little ones. They need someone to look up to. Someone that they know's got the wisdom of God. I'm telling you, buddy, I got two crowns. Let's just cover up my old bald spot up there, Brother William. But I got two crowns, a little one and one that's driving, and she's causing me to get more bald every day. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, children's children are the crown of old men and the glory of the children are their fathers. I'm glad I've got a heavenly father. Lord, thank you for the message today. Thank you for the anointing of God. Lord, to have more than I knew what to do with. I pray, dear Father, this morning, somehow, that I penetrated the hardness of our hearts, the darkness of the hour we're living in, and somehow I hope and pray that some of this found a lodging place in our heart of hearts. That, Lord, we consider what's been said here this morning, not mimic the world, not stereotype some of these Hollywood has-beens. And I pray as men of God will truly war good warfare, fight the good fight of faith, leave behind a testimony like Enoch that he pleased God. We'll thank you and praise you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you for bearing with me. I had to get that off my chest. I'm not making an apology, but I've been wanting to preach that message for quite some time. Let me ask everybody to stand. I preach you the Word of God. What are you going to do with it? That's your problem now. I've done my part. I've delivered that which was delivered unto me. If you're having problems being a father, why don't you come up here and say, Lord, help me be a better father. Help me be the father that I need to be. That's what I did this morning, Sister Carolyn. I got down and said, God, I want to be the best father my children can have. I want to be the best husband my wife can have. If you're having problems, come up here and ask for some help. You remember what Andrew, he said? Somebody help me. Somebody help me. I need help, he said. Are you needing help this morning? I know where there's oceans of help. I know where there's help. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Find help in a time of need. You need some help? Come on. Young or old, come up here this morning. Maybe some of you young people need some help this morning. Oh, Brother Eddie, I'll get down and pray with you. We'll pray together. We'll call upon God for strength and for help. You come and I'll pray with you. You know whether you need to come or not. Come on! Don't sit there like an out on the log. Don't let the devil beat you out of the blessing. Come on! I'm waiting. Come on! Why stand you here gazing? The angel said, the same Jesus is coming in like manner. But the bad problem was he's just standing there. Just standing there looking. Don't stand here gazing. If you need to do something, by all means, come do it. Do it now. And sail to seas just in sin. Keep running. And joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Don't run out, Brother William. We're going to ask all the men to come up here. We want to honor the dads here this morning, the fathers here this morning. I want all the fathers to come up here this morning. And I hope you heard the message this morning. I mean everything I said. I wish I had another hour. I'd like to have said more than what I did say. Easy message to preach because I lived so much of what I did say. Didn't like I needed any help in the message. I was the worst father ever could have been. I was the worst husband ever could have been. And I had no problem finding all the examples I needed. But I want to ask all the men, all the fathers, all the dads, please come up here. We want to bestow honor upon you. Sister Margaret done honored me with a handkerchief and an ink pen. I could hug her neck. I don't know how she does it, but right on time. She said there's an ink pen in there. Just what I needed, Keith. Come on. That one that's got the ink pen and the napkin, that's mine. I done got the handkerchief and the ink pen. Oh, we're going to get a picture here. Come on, William. Come on, Bobby. You ain't no father? Well, you're father to some of these children over here. Come on up here. They look up to you. Come on. You can honor them by doing that. That's right. I guarantee you these children look up to you, buddy. And in their eyes, you are a father. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Here we go. Hold on, Minnie. All right.
Put it down.
Uh-oh. She's making a video. Did you get it? Man, that'll wreck the internet. Good grief.
I ain't never had a handkerchief before. What do you do with them?
Praise it. Shake. Okay, glory to God. Hallelujah. We've had a few of them hanky shaking. A few of them. Thank you. All right, thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for bearing with me in that message. I really need to get that off my chest. I meant nothing personally. I love you. You're my brothers. And I'll tell you right now, I needed that message just as much as anybody here. Anybody got a testimony this morning? Anybody got a praise? I'll let you go right after that. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Children are inheritance from the Lord. Happy is that man's got his quiver full of them. Is that the one you're talking about in Psalms?
Happy is man whose God is the Lord.
Happy is that man whose God is the Lord. Yeah, happy is that man in such cases.
I'd like to read.
Alrighty.
If anybody hadn't had to feel this spirit, boy, they don't know what you're missing. Boy, this spirit here makes you plain. I mean, this verse. It'd be the fourth chapter, 1 John 13th verse. Hereby know we that we dwell in, and we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit.
Hey, amen. That's right.
Tell you what, you can sit here and get preaching like Brother Eddie does there, and any preaching. You can sit here and feel
that's it. Right.
And all through your soul, I tell you, there ain't nothing in the world.
Amen.
And these sinner people, I believe they got an idea
how yeah.
to be able to be filled with Spirit, and I'm hoping every one of them will be saved.
Hey, amen.
I'm looking for the time. I believe I could just have a chat and spell, see these three people here get saved. And I'm hoping they'll keep coming to church and hearing the preaching.
Amen. We're on the brink of revival.
Yeah.
What Brother Melvin's saying is God's real. The blessings of God are real. Amen.
When you get born again, you see what you've been missing. Oh, words can't explain how wonderful it is.
That's right.
But He's a comforter. He'll be with us in the good times and the bad times.
Amen.
And when we get down, He'll help us up. We can lean on Him. He's the best friend we ever had.
He's got strong arms. He's right.
Don't let us down, you know.
Old Jimmy Swaggart wrote a song called Learning to Lean. Finding more strength than I ever need. Learning to lean on Jesus. God bless you, Brother Melvin.
You let us go through the hard times and valleys sometimes. That makes us stronger.
It's true.
Makes us where we trust Him more. And it's just a wonderful life to live a Christian
life. Amen.
I would trade the whole world and everything in it.
Amen. You men follow a good example. I gave my candy bar to one of these youngins over here, and we got enough youngins, I believe, pass all the candy bars out. You do whatever you want to. I just seen Chelsea sitting there drooling over mine. I just handed mine to her. Anybody else got anything on your heart this morning? You're welcome, sweetie.
I thank the Lord for the message, Brother Eddie.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Carolyn.
Thank you for
hearing. Amen. Yeah. Amen. My daughter called me this morning. She said, you wasn't asleep, boys. I said, no, I'm just sitting there waiting on you to call. Oh, man. Did you have your hand up, Sister Margaret? I seen somebody else throw the hand up back there. I didn't know if it was you or not. Yeah. She said there's a bunch of more snacks back there in the back. Everybody said, hooray. All right, are we done? We're good Baptists getting out here 5 to 12.
I thank God for my father.
Bless you, Sister Molly.
He's been gone for some years, but one day I'll be back.
Amen.
And also my
husband. Amen.
And I thank Him for the blood.
Amen. Oh, boy. It makes everything better. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. He that hath the Son, she says, without Him I have nothing. He that has the Son has life.
Right.
He that has not the Son of God has not life. Amen. She said, I couldn't make it without Him. She's got everything in Him. We're complete in Him. Amen. Are we done? If so, thank you for coming. Let me ask everybody to stand. Brother Melvin, would you please dismiss us? Word of prayer. Thank you for each one here today. Thank you for listening to us.